This is the third and final week of this homily series. We've titled it, Trust Me. And I can't help but wonder if the Lord is asking a decision out of you and out of me. Can we trust Him? There are some in the scriptures this week who can't, and there is one who can. And I suspect the same is true among us for a lot of reasons. But the question is there, can you trust Him? Can you trust our Lord? The ones who can't are the scribes and Pharisees. They can't trust because they're incredibly jealous. And they're envious at Jesus. And they're looking for a way to blame Him, attack Him, and humiliate Him. And so they find this woman, and they watch her, and they know what she's doing, and they catch her right in the middle of the act. In the act of committing adultery, and then they make her get out of bed. They make her stand in front of everybody. They drag her out in public. How cruel, how insensitive, how abusive that is. And yet these guys do this because they want to trap Jesus. If he follows the law and allows her to be stoned, then they're going to say, this prophet of mercy, his words and actions don't match. If Jesus takes the side of the woman, they're going to start saying, hey, he doesn't follow the Father's commands because the Father laid this down with Moses. They can't trust him, and they are out to get him. Meanwhile, this poor lady, holy cow, she's standing there humiliated, ashamed, right in front of everybody. Knowing what the law of Moses is, I wondered if she's frightened too, wondering if the next breath is going to be her last one. What a terrible spot to be in. But our Lord knows it. And she's about to experience something that is going to change her life. In fact, something life-changing is happening in the temple already. John saw it and he went, ah! Something awesome is happening here. You see, John remembers a time when the priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees were really corrupt. They were power mongers. They were interested in their own power and authority and not in anybody else. And Ezekiel says, the glory of God left the temple. The glory of God left the temple and traveled east over the Mount of Olives. The glory of God left. And then John says, but wait, Jesus, who is the Messiah, who is the Son of God, is coming over the Mount of Olives, going down to the Kidron Valley and up into the temple. The glory of God has returned to the temple. And this glory is about to take residence in her, in the temple of the Holy Spirit that she is. That's the something new that's going to happen. And our Lord is just hoping these scribes and Pharisees will change. And so, reaching out to them, he says, let the first among you who hasn't sinned, you can cast the first stone. And then he writes on the ground and keeps writing and keeps writing. I've often wondered what he was writing. St. Augustine says he thinks that our Lord was writing down the sins of the people with stones in their hands. Jealousy, greed, lust, anger, dishonesty, and so on and so forth. I wonder if that crowd feared what they were doing to the lady. I wonder if they feared that their sin would be publicly exposed. And the truth is, before our God, your sin and mine, your thoughts mine, your words and actions mine, they are exposed before the Lord. They are so frightened at that possibility, they put the stone down and they take those sins that haunt them and they walk away and they carry them with them, saying no and saying, I can't trust God. That's the consequence. We take our sins, our guilt, our shame, and we keep holding on to it. There are some people holding on to mistakes they made years ago. And then there's this lady. She's still standing there. And the question, has anybody condemned you? Nobody, sir. And here's mercy. Number one, neither do I. Number two, just don't sin anymore. Wow. I wondered what enveloped her. Well, to some extent, I know, because I have received that mercy. And those of you who have received that mercy, you know too. And the Lord says, now I'm going to set you on another path. Can you trust me enough to let me lead you down another path? It is the path of life. And she says, yes. He says, don't do this anymore. She says, how? The temptations are still there. I will show you. Put your will and your life in my hands and in my care. I will take care of you. Friends, standing there, part of the change she experiences is a movement from being incredibly miserable to being incredibly merciful. She moves from misery to mercy and walks away with a willingness to extend that mercy to others. Can you trust God that much? Can you allow the forgiving power of our Lord's love to touch your life in that way? Can you let him lead you down a new path? Maybe that path has a major direction change in it. Maybe it's just a mid-course correction. Brought closer to the Lord, Jesus says, let's use God's law to make the corrections in your life that need correcting. Let's use it as a guidepost. Let his friendship be reestablished in you. You can be restored. And let him restore you. Restore you in the divine family so that you may take your rightful place. Can you trust the Lord that much? Whether our answer is yes or no, let's collectively pray for that grace. That grace to say yes to it. To say yes like Paul said yes. His life is changed by the mercy of our Lord. He's given a new direction. And he preaches and proclaims and writes about it. Some of you have stories of how your life has been redirected by God's mercy. When the situation's right, don't be afraid to share the story, share the correction, share the love and mercy that you know. Because others want to hear it. Deep down, we're all longing for it. Can you trust? Can you trust? Let's pray for the grace throughout the rest of Mass and into the week, the grace to say yes. Lord, I want to trust. Help me trust.